So bringing healthy air home, mine will be totally different. I am what we call a trenches kind of girl. I work with the people, I love being in the community. I've worked with secondhand smoke for probably about 15 years. I was really lucky. I worked in Oregon, and I worked with Diane Lauder. And so if you're old-time people that have worked in housing for a long time, she used to speak nationally. And we have no relationships either. So I thought it would be sort of interesting to hear about Arizona because I think we're pretty unique. We have about 4 million people in Maricopa County. 60% of the population is in Maricopa County, and we're the fourth largest populated county, and we have 5 Indian reservations in Maricopa County. So that was something I didn't know when I looked it up. I was going, 5 Indian reservations? I didn't know that. So most of the state is pretty barren. So background. Part of our background was I worked for the county. We worked with work sites. We did a lot of things with work sites. We did presentations, all kinds of things on any kind of health issues. Then the state decided, well, we can't do that anymore. You need to be doing policy work. We don't want you to do direct service anymore. So they came out and they talked to us, and I was lucky enough to have worked with multi-housing before. I had some contacts there, and that's what I chose. We had other things like the religious communities, hospitals, all kinds of things. So we each got to pick what we wanted to work with, and this was my choice. Everybody in this room probably already knows this. There is no safe level of secondhand smoke. I think it's the one comment that we can make that people really understand. So up to 65% of the air in apartments are shared. People are usually horrified by this. They don't know that it's that high. I get calls all the time from people that say my neighbor smokes and I can smell it. Usually, and which I think is odd, is the bathroom. But it's because of the plumbing. It's not covered up completely next to that pipe. And then it also comes in electrical outlets. It'll come in almost everywhere. I had a grandmother call me. She was hysterical. Her grandbaby had been in the hospital for about 6 weeks. They finally got to bring the baby home. And when they went with the clean clothes out of the dresser drawer, the doctor said, "You can't take that baby home to a smoking household." They didn't smoke. The smoke was drifting from the next door neighbor into their house, into their drawer. So in 2006, Arizona voted the Smoke-Free Arizona Act. It's almost everywhere. I went ahead and put a slide in. You can read through it if you would like to. But it's almost all public places. The multi-housing is covered with common areas, but we did not cover the apartments themselves, like most places. Exceptions is casinos. We have a group in Arizona. It's called Arizonans Concerned About Smoking, and they are absolutely fabulous. Dr. Fairbanks heads that up, and I think a lot of people know Dr. Fairbanks. They were really close to getting the Navajo Nation to make all of their casinos smoke-free. And they really only have like 3 or 4. Some are in New Mexico, but they were opening a new one in Flagstaff. But the tribal council had a change of personnel, and that policy went away. So they're still working with them on getting the that casino smoke-free. It's been really interesting on fraternal clubs. For some reason, I just can't imagine this, half the people want to smoke and half the people don't. So what's happened is most of them are going smoke-free because of demand of the people. They don't smoke anywhere else. They want to come and enjoy a drink or dinner at their club, and then they have to put up with the smoke. So we do see a change in that on its own. This is a private residence. If you have daycare, that always cracks me up, because if you are not smoking when the kids are there and you're smoking when they go home, we have third-hand smoke. So what's the worst thing for kids? They're crawling around on the floor and they're getting all the chemicals that are left behind. And then outdoor patios. This is a real problem for a lot of us. In Arizona, it's really nice and you want to sit outside, but all the smokers are out on the patio. So We need to work on that. So in 2009, I began working with smoke-free multi-unit housing. I attended a faith-based conference. It was with Tanner Development Corporation. And they had a section, a breakout session for tobacco. And because of my association with Diane Lauder, she was really into multi-unit housing, and that was in the late 90s. I said, why don't we try doing some multi-unit housing? They went for it. We formed a coalition. We had no funding, so it was very sparse on what we could do. So we had our first mini conference in 2010. It also was very sparse. We had about 20 people there. We had some really great speakers, but we probably had more people that were partners than we had managers of properties. Manistee Manor was the first property that I worked with to go smoke-free. 75-unit HUD senior property. They were so excited to go smoke-free. They announced a year ahead. We worked with them. We brought in cessation. We brought in other health things for them. What I thought was interesting after they went smoke-free, it was the same as your pictures. Their cigarette butts all disappeared. People didn't have complaints. They said, we don't have somebody coming in complaining about the smoker every single day. So it was really nice to get their take. They've been very nice supporting us, and they come and talk to us at almost all of our workshops that we hold. So in 2011, we had lots of research going on, thanks to people in Minnesota, Oregon, Washington, California, Maine. There was a lot of places that we were pulling information out of. My second place that the whole property went smoke-free was Rehoboth Place. This was really exciting for me also. One of the things that they do is they save out a number. It's around 10 or 15 apartments, and it's for young people that are coming out of the foster home area. And I thought, how nice. They're going to a smoke-free place. Maybe they will skip starting to smoke. So in 2012, we had a two-day workshop. We had someone come from Minnesota, we had someone come from Colorado, and the whole state came, anyone that wanted to come and talk about smoke-free. In the same year, I did a survey for 941 multi-unit housing managers. It came out that we only had 7 properties that claimed that they were smoke-free. When I went out and checked them, none of them were smoke-free. So it was really funny. They thought that they were smoke-free because they were following the law, that their common areas were smoke-free. Some of them thought that they were smoke-free because they allowed their people not to smoke in their apartment, but they could smoke on their patio or their balcony. And we don't count that as smoke-free. Then one day, this little person came up to us and joined our coalition, and it was from the American Lung Association. And she said, I have an opportunity for a CTG grant. And one of the choices is multi-unit housing. So we sat down with her and we talked. We had just done the survey. We had done some other things. We needed someone to go back to all the people that said they were interested. We had like 250 people. And so she wrote the grant, and it was accepted, and we've been partners ever since. We formed our coalition, and it's Arizona Smoke-Free Living Coalition. And the reason we did the living was we hope that someday we can move out of the apartments because they'll all be smoke-free, and then we can move on to something else like parks. This is the only coalition I've ever belonged to that I actually worked. They have work groups, and usually, well, doesn't everybody go to a coalition meeting and you sit down and you go, oh, this is nice, and then you go home? No, they put us all to work. So we have branding, a database. We have a wonderful database. Policy, outreach management forum, development, and leadership. So I was on the policy committee, so what we did, we drew up our own policy. We have a gold standard, and we have a silver standard. Gold standard is the whole property is smoke-free, and silver is there is a designated smoking area. It was really hard to get people to accept that in our gold and silver standard, you cannot smoke e-cigarettes. So that went round and round, and we finally got persuaded the leadership committee to approve that. And I'm so glad that we did it. So when you see some numbers a little later, you're probably wondering, why do we only have one gold standard? And it's because they have accepted the e-cigarette. What we're finding, the more that we're educating people, the more people are starting to look and say, oh yeah, that's right. Our theory was, until it's proven that it's safe, you shouldn't have it in your property. So then we, after the CTG grant went away, because we were doing such a great job, then the Arizona Department of Health decided, oh, whoa, we'll give them some money. So 2014, we have 13 properties are completely smoke-free. 24 properties are smoke-free with a designated smoking area. We have 6 properties that are smoke-free in designated buildings. So we have a couple of places where, actually some of them are market rate and some of them are low income, that they only have certain buildings that are smoke-free. One of the places I worked with was a homeless shelter for mothers and children, and they had 6 buildings. They had 9 kids in daycare, 7 were on asthma breathing machines. So they decided maybe we should do something about the secondhand smoke. So they went building by building. They checked to see how many people were in each building, and as the smokers moved out, they moved non-smokers in. And so it took them 2 years, and their property is completely smoke-free now. There was another really large property I worked with in Phoenix. It was 520 units, and at the time they were doing a renovation, and I tried everything under the sun to get them to do half smoking and half non-smoking. If you've ever been to Arizona, a lot of our buildings are only 2-story or 3-story, and they take up a lot of space. I couldn't get them to do that. But City of Phoenix was the owner of that building, and so they said, the last 4 buildings, let's try smoke-free. People moved from other parts of the property, and they filled up within a couple of weeks. And they're going, wow, why didn't we think of this before? And I'm going, duh, we did. So now they're actually looking at changing that over. They're going to start making more of their buildings smoke-free. So that's a big win for us. I think we did that one. So this is some of our numbers. We have 263 pre-contemplation. That's people that we have talked to in the community. We have 109 that are thinking about it. We have 12 adoptions, 17 implementations, 2 evaluations, and then 26 that are in maintenance. I know Minnesota's going, really? That's all you did? So this is our units. We have 1,800 units in transition, and we have over 5,000 that are smoke-free. So for us, in 2 years, these are big numbers for us. So lessons learned. Return on investment, market demands, developer incentives, and legal issues. So we'll go by each one of these. Return on investment, I think everybody knows that it's cheaper to clean a smoke-free room that our apartment than it is a smoker's apartment. The other thing I think that's really interesting is when you talk to people, they'll say, oh, well, you know, we just can't turn away those smokers because it's going to cost us money. And I say, how many people have you lost because of smokers next door and they moved away? No one can tell me that, but they always say, you know what, that's one of the biggest reasons people move here. So if you're working with a property management company, ask them that. How many people did you lose because the smoker is next door? So we wanted our own information instead of doing national numbers, so we went to our favorite little place, Manistee Manor, and they said it cost them 9 times more to turn a smoker's apartment. They averaged 12 turnovers per year, 2 to 3 were smokers, 8% of their maintenance cost, and their wait list increased 25%. It's higher than that right now. We have not had a apartment complex that their wait list didn't go up because they were smoke-free. And reduce the risk of fire. That's why Manistee Manor went smoke-free. They had a fire. Somebody was smoking on the 3rd floor. It's a 3-story building. They put the cigarette butt out in a silk plant, And at 3 o'clock in the morning, someone was coming home from work, and the top balcony had burned through. It went down to the second balcony. It was down to the patio level. If that person hadn't come home, I hate to think what would have happened to the people in that apartment complex. So market demand. We took a survey, and I thought this was really interesting. 7 out of 10 renters would choose smoke-free housing. 2 out of 5 renters said they would actually pay more. And I do know of one of our apartments that went smoke-free that are charging more. And 1 out of 5 renters who smoke said they would choose a smoke-free property. So we talked a little bit about low-income housing tax credits. When I first started in this, one of the property management companies, the CEO was talking to me. So I said, can I talk to you a little bit? Can you give me some leads or who should I be talking to? And one of the people she said was low-income housing tax people that was with the state. So I went to 2 of their roundtable meetings. The first time I went, they had a half a point buried in the ecology kind of things. So I was trying to get them just to do 1 point for smoke-free. I went back the next year and talked to them again. Not one person in that room said anything against doing the point. They said, oh, that would be a really easy point. So then I went and talked to the gentleman that was ahead of the state, and we went through the whole scenario, and he looked at me on the way out, and he said, how about 4 points? I said, I would love you. A few months later, we had them go 4 points for smoke-free and 2 points for a designated smoking area. That was huge for us. So we talk about legal issues too. HUD recommends it, CDC recommends it, smokers are not a protected class, and then smoke-free policies are legal. And let me go back, because did I forget to tell you something? Yes, I did. So we did, there was a lot more people that applied for the tax credits than is what is up here. This is only what they call people that made reservations, so it's that their proposal was accepted. So in Maricopa County, we had 8 of 9 properties chose smoke-free. Most of them were smoke-free with a designated smoking area. So this is for renovations or new builds. So we're not going to see this for a couple of years. And then we looked at the other counties, and they only had 2 properties that chose smoke-free. So it goes to show that education is really important. So we talked to housing authorities. We talked to property management companies. And it shows here that it's working because this education made Maricopa County's numbers much better. And we went through this. So these are some of our partners. Of course, the American Lung Association, Cancer Heart. The TCDC is the Tanner Corporation. The Tobacco Free Arizona. Then the other thing is, please look up your, if you're doing this work, look up your organizations that you can work with. We've done some work with all 3 of these. I joined AMA, which is the Arizona Multi-Housing Association, and they didn't know what to do with me. I wasn't a manager. I wasn't a vendor. I was a troublemaker. And so I was put in with the vendors, and I just kept showing up. And every once in a while, I'd say, well, you have manager coalitions. Can I go talk to your manager coalitions? And they would let me. So now every year I go to the manager's coalitions. I think there's 14 for different parts of the city. And we have, if you don't know Arizona, we have lots of cities that are around Phoenix. We call it the Valley. So Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, all those kind of places. We also went to their trade show. The first year we went, we just set up a table sort of like we do with wellness fairs. You know, we had our gross stuff that we all carry around in our cars. And we got some people to sign the card, and we went to see them. The next year we had more money, and so we did the trade show again, and we had an oxygen saloon. And so while the people sat there getting their oxygen fix and learning how it felt to have clean air, We had them fill out cards, and we had about 40 people that were interested. So we had a captive audience. So if you're doing a trade show, if you can figure out a way to get them to stand there for a few minutes and get their information, it really pays off. So these are some of our brandings. The Arizona Smoke-Free Living, we have just a playing card, a trifold. We have a book that gives all kinds of information. So there's like sample policies. There's questions for tenants. There's questions for property managers. It talks about return on investment, all the things that we thought people would want. Then at the bottom in the front is our website, and they did a really outstanding job. We're in the process of changing it a little bit. But one of the benefits of going smoke-free is we will list them for free on our website. And our website is getting a huge response. Every month our numbers are going up. So if you have a chance to use social media, it's the way to go. I was always little leery. I'm an old lady. But it's amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool, and it's been great for us. Connect with champions, residents, property managers, property management companies, and decision makers. So we're working more and more at a high level. So when I started out, I was pretty much going property to property. Now we're doing property management company to property management company, and now we're working with the housing authorities. We had a pilot program with one of the cities, and they are now looking at making their all of their properties smoke-free. So I'm not saying who it is because I don't want to jinx it. But we're getting really close on that one. So it's interesting how we've moved along. You start and then it starts building. And I think I'm most proud of, we have people calling us now to help them go smoke-free. When I was talking about the trade show, I had a lady come up and say she was market rate. We have 8 properties. We want to go smoke-free. So I went to her. We talked about it. They have two properties that are in the process, and they have 3 that opened will open their doors smoke-free. So that's really exciting when you see that happening. So what's next? We don't know. We're working, I think, at a higher level. We're trying to find the people that are the decision makers. I see the snowball going. It seems like now that we have people that stand up at our workshops and say, I went smoke-free, I don't know why I didn't do it before, it's so easy, I haven't had a problem. I've only had one person tell me that they had to speak to someone about not following the policy. And when they went to them, they said, you know, we're going to have to ask you to move if you don't quit smoking. And about 2 days later, he moved out in the middle of the night and she didn't have to deal with it. So that was the only time that I've ever heard that someone had a problem with it. Normally, it's a verbal warning and it's done. Enforcement is usually done by their peers. It's the next door neighbor will say something or they'll go to the manager. But we have not seen a problem, at least in Phoenix, with people not following the rules once they're made. And we're back to questions again. Also, I want to make a special thank you to the American Lung Association because they made this all possible with their CTG grant. We would not be where we are today if it wasn't for them. So please give American Lung Association a big hand. And they still do head up our coalition. So thank you very much.